What's up, everybody? This is Fight the Cube Podcast, episode number one, how to grow your net worth to over a million and invest with Grant from MillennialMoney.com. What's up, everybody? This is Fight the Cube Podcast, here, as always, with my brother, Adam. We got a very special guest today, but before we get to the guest...
What's up? Wait, I just want to mention something.
Give it to me.
There is... a full bag of Redman loose leaf on this table.
Yeah, there is.
I haven't partaken, but Noah told me before the podcast that if things go a little bit off the rails, we're just gonna put a little bit in to get it back on.
Always have a tin of tobacco ready in case things go a little awry. Also, Adam's room. We're in Adam's room right now. It's upstairs.
Yeah.
It's very small. He doesn't let us open the windows during podcasts.
No,
it's very hot in here. So we're sweating. There's tobacco, two hairy Jewish dudes about to do a podcast.
I shaved. I'm not that hairy. My face isn't that hairy.
I'm a little bit hairy. Adam, what happened at work this week? Tell me.
Not fun thing that happened at work to me? Today, during my commute, I got in a little fender bender. I have about an hour commute going to and an hour commute from work. Got a fender bender. We both of us got in the car. I looked into the guy's eyes. He was like about my age. And we were just like, nah. We just shook our heads. We were like, no, we don't. Just fuck it. Just get back in the car. It was awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, but commutes suck. Don't do a commute if you can avoid it. No, what's something?
Yo, talking about commutes.
What happened to you?
I had a really long commute today from my bed to my in-house office. I woke up. Today, guys, I'm in between jobs. I got about 2 weeks before I start my next job. I went outside, meditated, ate breakfast, hung out with my dog. It was incredible. I'm getting work stress because I got to go back to work in like 2 weeks, which is really gonna be awful.
Yeah, but
we'll see how long.
To be clear, you're doing a bunch of business work.
We're gonna get into that.
Yo, SAG. Speaking of business work.
Speaking of business work, time to introduce our guest.
Yes, introduce
our guest is Grant with MillennialMoney.com. Grant is the founder of Millennial Money. Just after college, Grant was living with his parents. He was unemployed. He only had $2 left in the bank. 5 years later, Grant now has a net worth of over $1 million. Grant, is that correct?
Yeah, it's actually quite a bit over that by now, but yes. Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, man. So tell us this. You know, why did you decide to leave your job? You know, what was the main thing that happened that you were like, you know what, I got to get out of here?
Yeah, man. So I quickly realized, when I had this job, I was making about $50,000. And I quickly realized when I did the math that, you know, when you make $50,000, you're going to have to, you're going to have to work for a long, long time before you have enough money to retire. So, you know, did the back of the napkin calculations and basically figured even with a realistic sort of maybe 3 to 5% expected annual raise, over the next 30 years, I still might not be able to retire. So really got the juices flowing and was like, this is just not going to be enough. So started side hustling, building websites, taught myself Google AdWords, just really hustled in every aspect of my life. And, in that 1 year period, ended up making about 2 to 3 times what I made in my full-time job with my side hustle. So the side hustle became way too lucrative and just had to ditch, and live the consultant life.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's what we love to hear. And I got to know what kind of websites were you making? Are you making WordPress websites? Are you doing, just some quick HTML stuff. What are you doing?
He's a coder. Adam's a coder.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. So I built my first HTML site when I was actually 14. So it was like OG website days. And then, I was, so early on in the WordPress game that I was building WordPress sites before probably anyone was building WordPress sites. And honestly, the first gig I got was a $500 website for a law firm here in Chicago, and that basically, went from selling a $500 website to a $50,000 website in like less than 3 months. So it was just crazy. I went from law firm to law firm to law firm, and just they all needed new websites, and they're like, who's this kid that's building them for, under $5,000 because all the big firms were charging just insane amounts. And so I just exploited that opportunity in the market.
That's amazing. Did you teach yourself how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, so I had the coding background, right? So I knew HTML and JavaScript. So going from that to WordPress was like super simple. You know, this was before the days when you could just, you know, buy a WordPress theme for like $60. So, you know, I went out and found a few WordPress themes that were a couple $100 for a law firm, and then just started customizing it. So the crazy thing is, you know, if you go back to those days and you look at those law firm websites, the first one I built took me about 2 weeks, and then I could churn them out in like 2 or 3 days. So it was really funny because I was just using the same template.
just making bills, though. That's fantastic.
Just crushing it. Just absolutely crushing it. And they had no idea, right? Because I was always, I would always ask them, you know, what, you know, because they were all in the market for a website, and I would ask them, oh, what did the other vendor quote you? I just want to make sure I'm in the same ballpark. And so, gosh,
perfect question.
When you ask that question, it's amazing. So you can't always ask your point of contact, but what I would do is I would call like one of the admin assistants or one of the lower people or someone in the marketing office, and I would ask them and say, hey, you know, just want to make sure that I'm within the realm. And you know, if you poke around a little bit, people will give you the price. And I figured out this one firm, they were going to pay. And I didn't have the balls to ask for 90,000, so I asked for 50, and it was a quick sale.
Oh man, yeah. Do you think that's still a lucrative play, or is that
isn't that really saturated now? Just doing like websites.
Did we both say saturated at the same time? Did you say saturated?
Yeah.
Saturation.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, any product that's been around, you know, it's becoming more of a commodity, certainly. So everyone and their mother can kind of build a WordPress site now. And the problem with that is, you know, just, gosh, the Bluehosts of the world or the GoDaddies or even the latest version of WordPress, they make it just so easy, right? And so I think there's only really viability if you can scale it to a larger enterprise. So I work with a lot of universities now. And so a university, it's just a much more complex ecosystem, like a website ecosystem. And so, yeah, you can still sell, you know, $200,000-$300,000 website, WordPress website projects to universities. But, you know, it ends up taking a lot of time because you have to deal with things like security issues and just tons of stakeholders. And, you know, I built a website recently and there are over 50 different users. And I think where there's some money is when you can get a larger chain and you can build you can do a BuddyPress installation, so a multi-site installation, and you can be like, hey, brand with 25 locations, I'll build your website, and you can have each of the individual 25 stores function as their own sites. So there's certainly some opportunity, but not like there was when I started.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Dude, so when you first started doing freelance work, you had that full-time job, you're getting 50,000, you realized you needed to make more, and you started on that freelance work. How many hours a day were you working?
Oh, dude, so this is crazy. So I actually went back and thought about this, and I was averaging probably 90 to 100 weeks during that period. So I pretty much worked consistently. So like the backstory on that $2.26 to $1 million in 5 years. That was working 90 plus hour weeks. So basically in my head, I was like, once I got started side hustling, I was like, I'm just going to push this, you know, either until I pass out, I die, I burn out, or I hit $1 million. And thankfully I hit $1 million before those other things happened. Because, you know, I honestly, I'm a young guy, relatively young guy. I don't know how old you guys are, but you know, the whole idea was like, I want to make as much money as early as possible, and then I can just not set it and forget it. But you all know the impact of compounding interest starting early. And so I was like, I'm going to fast track this thing and try to reach financial independence at the sacrifice of a lot of other things, man. Like, I had friends going to Costa Rica. I skipped bachelor parties. I just hustled, man. Like, I just made that choice, and everyone's like, how'd you do it? You know, you got lucky. And it's like, the one thing I got lucky on was that, you know, I started this at a relatively low period in the market. So every dollar that I put in when I started side hustling is worth $3 today, right? Yeah. So I had that advantage of the market just being down. But everything else, man, it's like, if you want it hard enough, it's out there, man. Money is an infinite resource.
Yeah. And dude, so we're doing the same thing. It's an absolute grind. My question is, how did you not get burnt out?
Wait, I would if I did 90 hours, I would not have a girlfriend.
We haven't done 90, but even the amount that we do, I mean, it definitely affects other things. You can't go on the trips that your friends are going on, but the thing is that we always talk about, like, I don't care. I would do whatever it took not to work anymore. It doesn't matter to me. So how did you, I guess, not balance it, but how did you not get burnt out?
Dude, I totally burnt out. So this is like I'm in the phase of – so I just turned 32, and I'm in the phase of, like, okay, how do I now find some balance in my life? That's kind of my goal for 2017. Not working out that well, but I'm trying. I do burn out, man. I hit, like, so the way I go is I go 150%, and then there's like 3 weekends a year, or usually like 2 to 3 weeks a year, where I just crash. So, like, my mind goes to complete mush, and I just, like, curl up in a fetal position, and just, like, I can't, you know, you're like so tired you can't even watch TV.
Yeah.
And, like, I tell my wife I've been with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time this entire period. Right. So she's seen all this craziness, and she's like, I can tell her, I'm like, oh, man, like, I hit the wall. And she knows to just, like, stay away from me. And I just literally curl up and, like, deconstruct. It's so unhealthy for, like, 72 or like 96 hours. And then I come out the other side, and I'm ready to go, man. seriously. So it's not sustainable. I mean, during that whole period, I think I'm lucky that I didn't, like, get really sick or anything. You know, I was able to hustle pretty hard. Once I hit 30, man, the diet just became so important. So now it's like I can go harder when I'm, like, I'm sitting here drinking a green juice right now. Wow. You know what I mean? So I always hit the green juice. Like, instead of the afternoon coffee, I go to green juice. Like, there's some extra kind of, like, health becomes more important once you're after 30 if you want to keep grinding as hard.
Yeah, I feel like everyone gets really into health after their body. The things they've been putting in their body, they have, like, a body apocalypse, and then they have to go to the hospital or something, and then they change their diet for the rest of their life. Such as me. That just happened to me. I drink a blueberry smoothie right now, and I would be drinking a beer.
Or a coffee. Yeah.
Hey, man, even a blueberry smoothie, man, it's a lot of sugar.
Dude, oh, God,
dude,
I know.
Did you give up coffee? Because I've been thinking about it, because eventually coffee, I just crash in the afternoon. Did you give it up, or do you just still do it? I love it so much.
I still do coffee in the morning. It's pretty balanced. I'm just, like, an amped up dude generally. Like, everyone I meet's, like, I'm like a really intense guy. So I have that intensity. So I usually use the coffee in the morning just because I'm addicted. But yeah, post noon, man, it's straight green juice, man. I'm like on it so hardcore.
Good for you,
dude. Good I love for it. You. So moving into investing, because I definitely want to touch on that. I know you've been super successful reading your blog with investing. We have a bunch of friends that are they day trade,
and a bunch of listeners now that day
trade. A bunch of listeners. They lose money day trading, they gain money day trading, lose money day trading, they gain money. I've had a lot of success with Betterment, which is a robo-advisor. I know that you like Betterment as well. So for people our age that have, you know, $2,000, $3,000 saved up, how could they start investing in the stock market?
We're 26.
26,
Doc.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. You guys, like, special place in my heart, because I was, like, deep into my first year, of this. I started my sort of, you know, this journey when I was 24. So by the time I was 26 and 27, you know, I was deep into the investing game. If you only have $2,000 or $3,000, I would actually skip Betterment, and I'd just open a Vanguard brokerage account and just throw it all in, you know, a total market index fund or an S&P 500 fund. With that amount of money, Betterment takes, you know, I think at that level they take 0.3% basis points. So you're not paying a lot of money, but the problem is that 0.3% basis point over, like, a 30-year period ends up being like $50,000 or $60,000, right? So I'm a fan of Betterment if you're just, like, super lazy and you want to click three times instead of five. You know, if it's something, you know, a lot of the things Betterment purports, like tax loss harvesting, the tax loss harvesting actually only works when you have a lot of money and you're doing a lot of active selling and buying, right? But because a vast majority of the holdings in a Betterment, you know, it's just kind of they're letting them ride, you know, in index funds and there's low turnover. There's actually very little benefit to tax loss harvesting.
That's like a big thing they push. That's funny. They really, really push that, like in their advertising. So that's interesting to hear.
Yeah, man. And it's like the diversification element. The thing I don't like about Betterment either is you just can't choose the funds, right? And there's so much overlap in what they put you in, right? So that whole, I mean, the user experience is nice. But you know, it's not that hard to go the extra step and open a Vanguard fund and say, you know, when you don't have a lot of money, saving that 0.3 basis points, you know, can add up huge over time. The Vanguard, you know, I use the Vanguard app. I still invest every day using it. So I take a daily investing approach. And so I've always just like back when I was y'all's age, man, I was like trying to save, gosh, probably at that time, like $100 to $150 per day. And I would just do it every single day, right? So every day I'd wake up and be like, how much? Literally the first thing on my mind every morning was, how much am I going to invest today? That was my mindset.
Love it.
And I went out and hustled, man. Like, it was crazy during that time. I wasn't just doing the websites, man. Like, I was buying, like, I bought a ton of Beyonce tickets at Soldier Field, ended up making like $5,500 in 2 days. You know, I was like buying and selling mopeds and Volkswagen campers and flipping things on eBay. And, you know, it's just every day I was like, I want to invest. And that's the approach I took. So yeah, if you have $2,000 or $3,000 pumping in a Vanguard total stock market index fund or an S&P 500 fund, and then go out and try to make a lot more money than that.
Okay. So it sounds like you're kind of at the Warren Buffett Scott style of S&P 500s.
Well, no. So probably about 70% of my money during that time period, that 5 years, was invested in index funds. And the other 25 or 30% was in active stock investing, right? I day traded twice and I lost over $3,000 both times. And I was like, all right, I'm done with this. And then I just started pumping money, pumped money into Amazon, Apple, Bank of America, Netflix. So in reality, my actual individual equities returns have been significantly higher than, you know, over that period than even the index fund tripling. You know, I think I've made over $500,000 just on Amazon alone over that period. And I'm still hugely bullish on Amazon. I invested at Amazon yesterday, even at, you know, 850 plus.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so for our,
if you have $2,000, $3,000, if you have $2,000 or $3,000, dude, go straight index.
Straight. Okay.
You shouldn't even get into, yeah, equities, individual equities. You shouldn't invest in more than 20% of your net worth in individual equities. And even still, I don't recommend investing in individual equities until, you know, you have at least $10,000, $20,000.
Gotcha. So because our friends are day trading, right? They don't invest in index funds. They'll just be like, oh, I like, because we all work in the tech industry. So they'll pick like one tech company that they like. They'll invest and they'll lose a ton of money. I literally just heard people get in an argument over it the other day. So what they should be doing is just to invest that in an index fund, in a Vanguard fund.
Yeah, man. And take all that energy you're putting into trying to day trade and go side hustle, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one's getting rich with $2,000 or $3,000 of principal. You know what I mean? It's not even worth it. You know, it's not worth your time. It's not worth the risk. I mean, to really invest, and that's the thing, man, like to really invest well, you know, you have to try to minimize your downside, right? And that's the thing is day trading, man. Like, you can't think about those short-term returns. You know, you just can't. I mean, taxes alone crush you, right? Taxes alone crush you, even if you're not in a high income gap. Why not hold the stock for at least a year and then sell it with capital gains treatment? And one of the things, dude, here's a total hack. If you only have $2,000 or $3,000 invested in a Roth IRA, right? And you could actually trade in your Roth IRA. So that's something that, that you can do, right? So you can actually trade in your Roth IRA. This is like, it's tax-free investing, right? So you pay the tax up front, you put the $2,000 in, buy and sell stocks in the Roth IRA, because then when you sell them, like say you're day trading, you can day trade in a Roth IRA. Say you're day trading and you're making gains, you don't have to pay tax on that money ever, right? It's sheltered.
But how about when I take the money out of the Roth IRA? Wouldn't it have to be taxes
man.
Then?
No, nope. Tax-free?
Oh,
tax-free, man.
What's the limit? What's the limit on it? Is there
what's the limit?
Is there like a limit per year that I can contribute to it?
So the $5,500 per year.
Okay. And so you can do $5,500 per year with a Roth IRA and it's completely untaxed, even when you withdraw it?
Yep.
Are there any penalties to withdrawing it, or is it liquid?
No, man. This is the cool thing. So with a Roth IRA, you can actually at any time – this is why, like, this is the biggest one of my pet peeves. Like, people are like, oh man, like, I'm gonna save up my emergency fund, right? I'm like such a hater on emergency funds. Like,
thank you.
Your Roth IRA should be your emergency fund
because it's liquid.
Because it's liquid and you can get a return on it. And the thing about it is, you can always take out your principal because you've already paid tax on it, right? You contribute to a Roth post tax. Right. So you've already paid taxes on it. So you put it in. You can always take out that principal tax free. Right. At any time. So if all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, man, I really need this $5,500, you can take it back out. And the cool thing is, when you take it back out, the investment gains, as long as you leave them in there, they're still going to grow and compound, even though you've taken out that original principal. Right. So I've been contributing to a Roth IRA for, gosh, probably about 8 years. So I've probably contributed, you know, like around $45,000. And it's grown a lot since then, but I can take it out. You know what I mean? I could just be like, oh man, I need this 45K and just take it out tax-free. Just like, and it's been growing. So the Roth IRA is like, man, the Roth IRA is the best thing in the world.
That's awesome. So does Vanguard offer a Roth IRA through them?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yep. A Roth IRA is just, it's an investment holding vehicle. Right. So you're able to pick any investment you want in that type of a vehicle. So, yeah, you can open up a Roth IRA.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Vanguard. You can open up a Roth and Betterment too. But, yeah, a Roth IRA. And that's the thing is, like, if you're trading, like so many like day traders, they trade in non-tax deferred accounts. Like some companies even allow you to trade in your 401k. Right. So the thing is, it's so stupid to when you don't have a lot of money to do day trading or any kind of trading outside of a tax advantaged account.
Yeah. Dude, my thing too with the day trading is that they're like spending all this time researching and trying to like game the system, and they're just going up against people that have years of experience, that have tons of technology that we don't even know about, and they can just put their money into an index fund or into a Roth IRA like this and do very, very well and spend their time doing something else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is, I agree 100%. It's just, you know, day trading, even the experts are pretty terrible at it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's like why, you know, the whole get rich quick, you know, there's a lot easier ways to get rich quick than day trading.
Yep. No, absolutely. So, man, what's the biggest investment mistake that you've ever made? And what's your biggest success?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I want to know that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think the biggest mistake I made was honestly day trading. So there was a time – like once – like, you know, all this was starting and I was starting this whole journey like, you know, when apps were starting to get popular, right? So I remember the E-Trade app came out and I was like, oh, man, you know, I've got like 10 grand and I put it in and I'm like, I'm going to really turn this. And I'm like, you know, all these stocks are going to go up. And man, I got crushed like $3,000 in one day. And the thing about day trading, man, it's like, it's so high anxiety. Right. And I think the biggest thing is like, you know, the biggest barrier to building wealth or one of the biggest is just our emotions. Right. So we get, when you're looking at it every day, you're freaking out. And so, you know, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes that I've made with money generally. I've actually been pretty solid with money, honestly, over the past, like, you know, past 7 years. Last year, I had kind of a crazy year. I write about this on the blog. So last year I did my end of the year. This is crazy. So I did my end of the year calculation for 2016, and I ended up spending $210,000 in 2016. And the previous high spending level that I'd spent before that was around $73,000. So I tripled the amount of money that I spent last year. I just went a little crazy. And so I wrote all about this on the blog. It's basically like lifestyle inflation really, really crushed me. And so 2017, I've recommitted to frugality, and I've been more balanced in my spending, because a lot of my own projections around my future are built, you know, they're not sustainable when I spend $210,000 in 1 year.
That'd be awesome if they were.
So how
much of that is going to the green drink that you're drinking right now?
Oh man, green drinks are expensive.
what's in the green drink?
The 210?
Yeah, I need to know.
Yeah, so this green drink, there's dandelion greens, romaine, lettuce, spinach, and some spirulina. So I got those algaes working for me. If you make green juice yourself, it's actually pretty cheap, right? You can probably get it for around $2 a glass. If you buy it at a juicery, you know, anywhere, you know, it's going to cost you probably $7 to $14. Although I was somewhere in New York City recently, and literally I got to the counter and the woman tried to charge me $17 for a 12-ounce green juice. And I was like, oh man, this is probably the best financial decision I've ever made in my life. And I caved, man. I bought it. I bought it for $17.
Oh my God. Dude,
Do you
budget? You know, you talk about I know I need to budget. I absolutely hate budgeting. It sucks. Like, I write all my expenses down in a spreadsheet, and I try and force myself to do it every 2 weeks and just look at all my bank accounts and everything else. Do you have like a system for budgeting or anything you use to keep yourself accountable?
You're budgeting.
Yeah, I don't budget, nor do I believe in budgeting.
Tell us about this.
Yeah. So this is one of my big things, is like focusing on money as a daily habit instead of like outside of a day, right? So I think, you know, like, we as humans, we're not even wired to think about money long term. So you get these people and they're like, we're going to set monthly budgets, or we're going to set quarterly budgets, or we're going to do all this stuff. If you can just focus on one day at a time and you're like, I have this much money to spend today, and I have this much money I want to invest today, and you literally keep it that simple, it's so much easier, right? So even through all like the last seven, eight years, man, like, my budget was like, all right, I can't spend more than like $41 today. And I took that approach. It can get more complicated when you have like bigger trips, right? So when I was early on in this whole journey, I did some crazy stuff where I had like six Ally bank accounts that I would just like deposit money in for different things. And so once I had the money saved up for certain things, you know, I was always making a choice. It was like, do I want to go to Paris or do I want to invest this money? And, you know, honestly, I didn't go to Paris until I had enough money in that account to go to Paris. And so, yeah, when you think about that and you think about it on a daily level, man, you don't really have to budget. And then the final thing is, one of the things that also works well for people is when, you know, say you make like $2,000 a month, you know, and you know that you need $500, you know, for living expenses, and you invest $500, and then you know that you have after you've paid for your expenses and you've invested the amount of money that you want, the rest of the money that you have, you should just feel not guilty about blowing it, right? So this was a big thing for me too. I set aside like $100 a week to just blow on anything I wanted, right? And so that mental hurdle of like, oh man, should I be saving this, or what should I be doing with this? You know, probably about 20% of the money that you make after expenses, after investing, you should just blow on yourself. And the thing is, I took that a little far last year because I had that like idea. So I was like, oh yeah, whatever. Like, you know, I realized that I was like, I stopped buying $12. But I realized I hadn't bought less than a $50 bottle of wine in like 6 months. So I was like, oh man,
wow,
this is getting out of control. You know, Same things with flights.
Is wine really that much better when it's $55?
I wouldn't know. It is a lot better, man.
Dude, flights are better.
Flights are better. First class is the best thing on earth.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh.
Back with the savages. Savages and coach.
Oh, man. Like, I – so if any flight's over 3 hours, I don't fly coach anymore. I gave that up, man. It's like the bigger seat, like if you're flying internationally, having a bed, man, a few days in a country, getting some sleep on the plane, man, it's like it makes all the difference. It's totally worth it.
I want to sit first class because I want to look at all the people that go back to the cabin just look so miserable. Just give
Do you scowl at people as they walk past you when you're in first class? Just get
no,
go.
No, man, I always go. Have these so it depends, right? So I've got – like it depends on how crazy I am. So like I'm kind of a funny guy. So like I was in a poker game a couple of years ago and, man, I ended up winning in this poker game. It was like a $1,400 all-in pot. And this guy, like, he only had this gold chain. So he threw in this Cuban link gold chain into the pot. And I was like, oh, man, this is fake. This isn't real. Long story short, I won the pot. And I won this, like, 100-gram gold chain that now, like, I'll wear it when I travel.
Oh, yes.
I look so ridiculous. So I sit in this, like, first class. I'm in all black.
I've got my Dolce.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually at Whole Foods. Like 2 months ago, and I was it was in New York. I just flown in, and some woman's like, "Oh man," she's like, "Are you a rapper?" That's literally what she asked me.
Yeah. My name's Millennial Money. What's up?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a personal finance blogger, man. But yeah, I usually, you know, you got to dress it up when you're in first class. You know, wear the shades. I got the new Bose. You know, Quiet Comfort 35 wireless headphones. Those are essential for traveling. So, man.
Those are amazing. And to bring us back a little bit, what percentage should people be looking to save of their total income as a rule of thumb?
Oh, man, that's a great question. At least 25%. At least 25%. So most people, like the whole, like, save 5, 10, 15%. If you're just getting started, starting with that 5% number and then escalating it 1% every month or every 3 months – is a good way to get up to that number. But man, if you really want to make moves and you really want to retire early, you got to hit at least a 25% savings rate. And I don't call it a savings rate. I actually call it an investing rate. So there's a difference there, right? You should be investing 25% of your money, not just socking it away, you know, in some cash account where you're losing money on it.
Right. So if you're making 50 grand, then that's – I'm so bad. I'm going to do this wrong. Then that's $12,500 that you should try and save per year and invest it.
At least. Yep.
Cool.
And the thing about it is, like, this is why I break it down on a day-to-day basis. Like, I figured around that time when I was making 50K, I was like, oh, man, in order to retire at 65, I need to save $50 a day. That's how much. That $50 a day in 30 years would have netted me $1,250,000, which is what I figured out I would need to retire at 65. And I was like, oh, man, this is just going to take forever. You know, I'm not even saving $50 a day. And so then I started getting real crazy and just like trying to save as much money as possible per day. And that really made all the difference. So even saving $12,500 per year, you know, it's still going to take you, you know, let's expect like a 6% rate of return compounded annually. You know, it's still going to take you 25 years at least to probably hit that $1 million.
Oh man. Noah, can you please stop hitting your mic against your computer? I am going to kill
beard.
You.
It just feels good when I rub the mic on my beard.
I
will stop.
Wait, but people want the gripes. We haven't even gotten into a gripe yet today. This could have been gripe number one.
Oh yeah,
that doesn't even count as a gripe because you just agree with me,
dude. I got a question. So looking back, you know, 5 years prior, you know, now you're successful. 5 years ago, you were in the grind, working 90 hours a week. What's the biggest piece of advice you'd have for yourself?
Oh man, gosh, slow down sometimes. So one of the things is. Later on, I instituted a no work on Sunday policy, but that was like much later on, like a little too late. So even now today, I don't work on Sundays. So I really chill out and just try to do nothing on Sundays. So that'd be my biggest piece of advice. Like, you can grind all you want, but, you know, give yourself one day a week just to chill out and just do nothing. And that means do nothing, like, you know, don't write a blog post, don't record a podcast, just like literally just straight veg and focus on the self-care. That's probably the biggest piece of advice I'd give myself.
Dude, I try to do that. I try and do that, and then I just go right back into work mode. And I know I need to be better at that. It's so hard. When you're working, so let's say you're working, you know, when you were working a full-time job and you're also trying to start a business, how did you effectively manage your time? Are there some tricks that you use to get the most out of it?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan. I know that, like, science doesn't support this, but I'm a huge fan of multitasking. Right. That's one of the things that I think I can use. I use to my advantage. Right. So I can be working on three or four things at one time. And what's interesting about that is when you're doing that, you're able to actually move a number of balls forward instead of just one. And that's one of the things I think has been a huge advantage for me, you know, just not focusing on one task exclusively, which is kind of crazy. And so I was doing, like, you know what I mean? Like, crazy things like sitting on conference calls. We're like deep in this podcast, so I can share this one. Sitting on conference calls, you know, like, say an hour call, you know, you're with a bunch of people, you know, maybe you only have to talk for like 5 minutes and you really only have to pay attention yeah. for 10 minutes. That's like 40 minutes, man, you can reclaim and use in your life. Every conference call that I'm ever on, I'm always doing two other things. And it rarely burns you, right? It rarely burns you. If someone asks you a question and you weren't listening, you just have to say, hey, you know, sorry, you cut out. You know, can you repeat that again?
Can you clarify, please?
Yeah. Could you say that again, please?
Dude, I was just on vacation with my friend a while ago, and he was driving and just put the conference call on his speakers. And I was like, dude, why don't you just take the day off? He was like, oh, because I'll just do a work from home. I'll get paid for today. And then he was just driving and was listening into the conference call, and he would just say, yep, absolutely, yes. It's so funny. It's fantastic.
Yeah, man. And I actually was on two conference calls at one time once.
What?
Which was crazy. Yeah. And I was leading one of them. Right? Which was the craziest thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you find time when you want to find time. One of the biggest things that I did, you know, I know everyone, you know, has kind of their, you know, TV. Everyone watches just a ton of TV. I just got tired of watching TV, right? I was just like, sorry, like, my wife hates this about me because I just won't even sit down and watch some, you know, oh, let's just watch this show, this new show. And if it's not, like, proven and I know it's going to be amazing, you know, I don't even watch it, right? And that's, you can reclaim hours of your time, man.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. And same thing with podcasts, man. Listening to podcasts two or three times faster. You know, every book. So I've read over 400 personal finance books. And everyone's like, oh, man, how can you read that? It's almost like a book a week for like 6 years. And basically over a book a week for 6 years. And basically I have this whole method of reading where it's like, you know, I crush through the intro. I look at the, you know, either the appendix or the table of contents. I jump to like two chapters that are of interest in the middle. And then I read like the last three pages. And if the book catches me, I'll stop and I'll read the whole thing. If not, I'm just on to the next book. You know, it's just like you can't even waste time.
Most efficient way to digest the information. I was looking at some of the books that you have on some of your blogs. Some of them seem really good. I need to read more. I like on the weekends. I only allow myself to play Xbox on the weekends. I can't tell whether to cut it out or not because sometimes when I'm playing Xbox, I feel like it is relaxing and cathartic.
I just want to mention that when we play Xbox together, I absolutely trash you.
Yeah, so you shouldn't play me anymore. In NBA 2K. So yeah. It's been really sad. My defense is porous.
I'm on a 13-game winning streak. Yeah, NBA 2K.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
Yeah, anyway.
What can I say? Grant, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. I really, really appreciate it. Love talking to you. We got three questions that we ask every guest. First question.
Yep.
What was your worst day at work at your corporate job when you're working in a corporation?
My worst day at the job?
or worst thing to happen to you?
So my first corporate job, I actually got fired. So that was pretty terrible. But then I figured out a way to negotiate a really nice severance. So that's probably was the worst day. There's also just crazy, like a lot of crazy times, you know, when I was like 22 and, you know, you just come to, you've had a crazy weekend and you just come to work, you just feel terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably as crazy as it's gotten.
Why was getting fired so bad? Was it like public or was it, what happened there?
No, man, this is just during like the recession, right? So the market crashed and it was like everyone getting, you know, laid off and it was just like, you know, I mean, it was one of those things where it's like probably the best thing ever to happen to me. But, you know, at the time you're just like, oh, man, you know, I'm making, at that time I was making $42,000 and I was spending every lick of it. You know what I mean? It was just like, how much can I live with this money? Because I really actually didn't start saving till, you know, I hit 24. Mm-hmm. So those two years before, you know, we're kind of crazy.
Gotcha. Favorite book, man. Favorite book about, it could be about business, it could be about life. Just what's your favorite book?
Oh, I like that you changed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have two favorite books. I'm going to throw two at you. The first one, the first personal finance book that I read and the best one, in my opinion, is Your Money or Your Life. It's kind of the OG. It's like the book that created the concept of financial independence. The simple idea is that, you know, you're trading every time someone's paying you, you're trading a moment of your life for that money, right? So how, when you view your everything that you buy, when you view it in those terms, right? So a $20 or $17 green juice, for example, how much of my life did I trade for that green juice? That was a huge monumental mind shift. I'm actually working on helping out with the new edition of the book that'll be released next year. So pretty cool through Millennial Money. I'm now helping the author of my favorite book of all time.
That's awesome.
Which is super, super dope. I'm actually writing a book, Millennial Money, which will be out next spring, about everything I've learned, how to side hustle and go from broke to $1 million in 5 years. So that'll be out next year. And then the other book, which I encourage everyone to read, is called Blue Ocean Strategy. So Blue Ocean Strategy, I'm a huge reader of just strategy works in general. Blue Ocean Strategy will change your life. It'll change the way you think about making money, about companies, about capitalism. I definitely recommend you check it out.
That sounds awesome. That's great. And Rich Dad Poor Dad was like that OG book for me when I read that a couple of years ago. That like hit me, was like, oh, I'm just trading up my time, money. This is not working.
Yeah, man. Rich Dad Poor Dad's great. So what's the last question?
Last question.
There's one more.
Last question. And you kind of answered it there, but new business idea or strategy that you would like to get into?
Yeah, some opportunity that you see that you're like, oh, I want to dive into that. That looks fun.
Oh, man. So this is an exclusive because this hasn't been shared anywhere else in the world.
Exclusive. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Straight up exclusive. So we're putting together, there's going to be a Millennial Money Conference in New York City this fall, all about money, getting rich, building wealth. I'm pulling together four other personal finance bloggers, big personal finance bloggers, and we're going to do this event. It's going to be free in New York City, so we're trying to figure out the biggest space that we can find. And the whole idea is just like new way to manage money, the old school's, you know, out of date. You know, how can you, you know, fast track your way to early retirement? So stay tuned for that. And then there's other exclusive. There's a Millennial Money course that's launching in early summer, so probably mid June. And so I've recorded about 50 videos that basically, you know, I'm going to walk through all these ideas in greater detail. So that'll be dropping in mid-June. So check those two things out.
Awesome, man. Grant, thank you so much for coming on the show. Guys, you can find Grant, millennialmoney.com.
Millennial Money.
Conference coming up. Course coming up this summer, right?
Yeah.
I saw that on your site. You can put
Hit us up. Check out our podcast, Millennial Money Minutes. We just hit 150,000 downloads in 3.5 months since launching.
So oh, hell yeah.
Check that out as well. Yeah, man.
Cool. Grant, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Bye.
This was fun. Later.
Grant Sabatier.
Grant. Grant's the man. Love that podcast. Hope you guys did too.
Yeah.
I learned a ton. I didn't know that a Roth IRA doesn't have a penalty to take out.
Yeah.
Dude, also we don't need to use our headset because we're in the same room together. It's just me and you.
No, it's done. Cool. I'm in the zone.
We can take it out.
I'm in the zone.
So we're just wearing headsets for
like
no
speed
reason.
Racer.
These two.
I wear them at work. I just wear my podcasting stuff. I'm like, yo, what's up? I'm a podcaster.
Yo.
I like wine and expensive cheese and podcasts.
Dude, what's one thing you learned from the podcast?
I learned that I didn't know that Roth IRA trick at all. That was amazing. I also learned that the best way to invest if you have really little capital is a Vanguard fund.
Yeah, I thought that a Betterment fund was better.
But you get
charged more, and Vanguard will diversify you basically the same amount, so you might as well just go straight to Vanguard.
I also just learned what it means to hustle. 90 hours a week is hustling. I just feel like such a slacker now.
Yeah, that is
really something.
That is me. I love how he said that now he like it was hard for him and now he takes like a day to just veg.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Can I ask you a little tickly or prickly?
New segment. Talk about the new segment. This is probably going to be episode one. So we don't need to talk about a new segment.
Remember the rituals? We just don't talk about them. They just happen.
You're right. We just do our rituals. And
okay. Tickly or prickly? Roth IRA. It's fast.
I'm prickly. Honestly.
Oh, wow. Okay. Vanguard.
Tickly.
Betterment.
Prickly now.
Day trading.
Prickles.
Savings account.
Prick.
Real estate.
Tickly. Tickles.
I love prickly. Okay, that's prickly or tickly.
Yo. Great having Grant on. Hope you guys liked it. Guys, if you like the podcast, we're going to make a Facebook group too. Join the Facebook group.
Facebook group.
Give us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think. Send us a bag of poo.
Do whatever.
Do whatever.
That's feedback.
What's feedback? Any kind of feedback. Bags of poo. writing on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. Go to Fight the Cube Mastermind Group on Facebook. You can find.
Why don't we just say Fight the Cube Mastermind Group? Why can't it just be Fight the Cube?
Because it's like
Facebook. 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 I'm gonna Justin Timberlake.
It's the Mastermind. It's like where the minds come to meld.
Let me be JT. Be Justin Timberlake for a second. Just Fight the Cube.
Yo, let me just bump. No.
What if it's just Fight Cube?
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Fight the Cube on Facebook Mastermind Group. If you like the show, it really helps us out. It takes about 10 seconds to sign up, and it helps us out tremendously. Go in there. Go check it out. Also see us on fightthecube.com. What do you want
to
say?
Would love you guys to review the podcast. I just want to say I've loved a bunch of podcasts, and I've never actually taken the time to review, so I'm a terrible
example.
Don't
be like Noah.
Don't be like me.
Review the podcast.
Don't be like me. And review the podcast.
Also, just download the podcast. You don't have to listen. Just press play and just turn it off. Doesn't matter to us. Do whatever you want. Just play the podcast and download it. That's all we ask.
Sure. We'll start there, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay.
As a building block. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned.
Okay. See ya. We got great episodes coming up.
Fight the Cube.
Great episodes coming up. Bye.